It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It is California Wine Country, as I said. We thought we were featuring Ron Reuben Vineyards today, but apparently Dan didn't let us know that Ron had to cancel. So.
I drank too much tea.
Yeah. Ron also owns the Republic of Tea. I was calling it earlier California Tea Country, but that's not as cool as California Wine Country. Joining in his stead, we're very happy to have William Nuttall. Saying that right? He is a winemaker, a partner in Atomino.
Atomino is definitely one of the brands.
Okay, and William Nuttall Winery.
All hard to pronounce, Steve. We like it that way.
Welcome. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
We got to start with your history and how many brands are you dealing with here?
Sometimes I think it's like Procter & Gamble, but when you get late in your winemaking career, it's a lot of fun. So the primary brand for me is obviously my self-named brand, William Nuttall Winery, and I've also just launched a new brand called Nuttall Family because my son and daughter have gotten involved in the business.
Cool. And what about Square Peg Winery?
Square Peg. Now, we'll see over to the Atomino brand a little bit here because with Atomino, I have a partner named Brad Alper. And Brad decided he had a need to have his own brand. So we decided Pinot Noir was a thing because he happened to have some in his vineyards right near his house. So we've been making Square Peg we've done four vintages now, and we're on the second release, and that's strictly Pinot Noir from the Sonoma Coast right near Occidental.
Wow.
And so going back into Atomino is also right up there. And people think it's a little bit strange to have Zin in the Sonoma Coast, but we can talk about that later and why we did it.
Oh, we will.
But it's a cooler region that it turns out is perfect for Zin, and there happens to have been Zin there for a long, long time.
Before we get your complete history as a winemaker, let me get Dan's thoughts on William Nuttall. Do you go by Bill?
Well,
or
go by Bill, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I got to know Bill when he was at Dry Creek Vineyard and did a brilliant job there. And what's really fascinating is that when you're a really good winemaker, you can dance to any drummer. And Bill's got an opportunity to do Pinot Noir here with one of his brands. He didn't have any Pinot Noir in the stable at Dry Creek. There was making Chenin Blanc, of all things, and really good Chenin Blanc to that. And then, of course, some of these other items here, this Chardonnay that we're just now settling into, this Nuttall Family 2015 Chardonnay, which has says Cates Pas de Deux. I love that. And it's from Russian River Valley. And Russian River is one of the wonderful locations in the world. And when you decided to make wine under these various brands, I guess you decided to move west.
I did. I started over Napa Valley. My first winemaking job was with Saintsbury, and it was a long tenure from 1983 to 1996. But we made both Sonoma side and Napa side Carneros, Chardonnay, and Pinot. And really, we were one of the wineries that were instrumental in bringing Burgundian style, for lack of a better term, to especially Pinot. Chardonnay came a little bit later, and we did some interesting things with Chardonnay as well. In fact, I think, I still never figured this out, but I might have done the first unfiltered Chardonnay way back in 1986 or something like that, when nobody was thinking about doing anything like that. So I sort of fell in love with those varieties. And later on, after I moved from Saintsbury, I was a winemaker at Chalk Hill Estate. I was from 96 until 2003.
Wow.
And that got me on the other side. Of course, that was all estate fruit there, so I was a little bit insular in my winemaking, just making stuff from the estate. But I branched out after that, went into Dry Creek Vineyard as a winemaking consultant for a lot of years, and turned their whole program around, and they're doing great these days. And as you said, Dan, making Chenin, Sauvignon Blanc. I was making a little Pinot. It was a top-secret project there. but Chardonnay and Cab and Zin especially. So I got to see a lot of different vineyards and a lot of different varieties over the years, and that's why I make a lot of different things.
It is California Wine Country with Dan Berger. William Nuttall is a winemaker who works for has a bunch of stuff going on, and we'll talk more about that. But first, let me get your full experience as a winemaker. I mean, Did you do UC Davis, Fresno? Did you?
Yeah, I was trained actually as a chemical engineer. It was my first career, okay. And got into a rather tragic situation and decided I wanted to do something else with that knowledge. So
can you talk about the tragic situation?
Yeah, I was 5 minutes from a plant explosion that when I went home, I thought, I need to do something else.
I need wine.
And we had lots of wine, and that was the whole thing. I went home kind of in a little bit of a trauma.
Wow.
And looked at a sea of wine bottles from all the things we had tried and didn't know about, and I wasn't really very clear on Lafite versus a German Riesling or whatever at that point, but decided that it was chemical engineering because you're basically taking raw materials, taking you to a finished product, and all the things in between, and sales and marketing and accounting and everything else you need to do as a winemaker. So it utilized my training well, and I got lucky, actually, because when that happened, it was the period where UC Davis was just starting to replace all the old professors that were basically, they were basically farmers. They knew viticulture, and they didn't know winemaking as well, and technology was really becoming important. So UC Davis had brought on two chemical engineers, as it turned out. And when I called, it was like stunned silence. It was like, oh, there's a chemical engineer who wants to come to our program and study winemaking. They gave me a scholarship, red carpet, the whole bit. So I went back to school, and there it was. So a couple years there in the master's program.
How long have you been winemaker now?
I've been making wine since 1983 now.
Wow.
I started with Sainsbury.
Very cool. Well,
a lot of grapes over the dam.
Let me say something about this Chardonnay. And which winery is this from?
This is Nuttall Family.
Nuttall Family Wine.
This is an $18 Russian River Valley Chardonnay.
Whoa.
Done in almost a full Burgundian style. It's about 50% monolactic, but it's stirred lees. It's entirely French oak.
Another 6 months to a year, this will be phenomenal Burgundian style. It's really great.
You know what I'm getting? And I this may be huge for me and my palate. Pistachio.
Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah. It's cool.
I'm serious.
Yeah, you got a little of that fresh
nuttiness
character.
And that's from all that Surly's activity because we spare no expense making this wine, actually. And quite honestly, I don't make any differently than I made Chardonnay at Chalk Hill all those years ago. And those bottles are quite a bit more expensive. So it's a screaming deal, and we sell a lot of it.
Yeah.
It's hard to make any money on a thing like this.
Yeah, you're right, especially with where grape prices have been the last 3 to 5 years.
Well,
barrel prices are actually, they've almost mitigated in the sense that the dollar got stronger. Mm-hmm. So, we sell barrels over $1,000 a piece for a while for French oak. Now they're down to $800-$900. So we can live with that.
William Nuttall is our guest. Various wineries will get more into that, but it's K-N-U-T-T-E-L. K-N-U-T-T-E-L. Dan, you said a year and a half laying it down?
Well, the thing about these wines is that Chardonnay is really, I've said this I don't know how many times, Chardonnay is really red wine with no color. And you're basically looking at a wine that is really somewhat immature. I mean, the flavors are great. They're wonderful flavors, but all of them haven't come together in the aftertaste just yet. And I think that the secret to this wine is to treat it a little bit like red. Maybe what you do is decant it for half an hour to an hour,
Absolutely.
Maybe 2 hours. Give it some time, get a little bit of air, and maybe an extra year in the cellar, maybe in a year and a half, to allow it to round out. Right now, it's a little awkward. It's gorgeous wine, but I just imagine how great this is going to be in 6 months.
Speaking to that, Dan, I've always considered myself a very traditional winemaker. I do make wine for the table, and I make wine to age, which a lot of people don't do anymore.
Yeah, I call him Dan Lay It Down Burger.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And the secret is if you make wines with good true acid, you pick the grapes not overripe so they do have good natural acid, you can make wines that you can lay down for a long time. And I make white and red the same way. Every bottle I make can be laid down for years. And I almost brought one today just for fun, but I didn't. But some of our Ottomino Zinfandels, people think that Zin does not last. Well, if you make it in the style we make it in, we're drinking an 01 right now and selling in our tasting room. It's phenomenal.
Just phenomenal. I can tell you that I've had wines like this with scallops prepared with vanilla. It's hard to imagine that, but scallops and vanilla work really nice together. Can you imagine how good this Chardonnay would be with that?
Absolutely.
I mean, that is just because vanilla is really a hard flavor to match up with. But here you've got all the buttery components.
When you have that body in a wine like this, you can pair it with a lot of things, and I've I've done it even with beef. so it'll hold up to a lot of big dishes.
It'll hold up to a light beef dish as well. I mean, charred steak, that's a tough one.
Yeah, that's a tough one for white wine.
Now, if you lay this down for whatever.
2 years, yeah.
2 years?
Yeah.
Would that pistachio? I say pistachio. I've never sent pistachio in my life. It's pistachio.
Or whatever.
I was born in New York. It's pistachio. Would that? I assume that would kind of change. I mean,
I don't think much of it would change because there is a complex of flavors going on here. Right now, the aromatics are basically youthful aromatics, and what you want to do is broaden those aromatics and soften out the wine a little bit so that all those little awkward pieces come together. Right now, it's delicious, just wonderful.
I would say if it's not pistachios in 2 years, Steve, it'll be a nuttiness that's
still
comes
there.
From that the broken down yeast from the surly the botanage on the wine.
What about, I say this often when we're talking about really good Chardonnay, oysters?
It's a little tricky because
a little too much for an oyster.
Well, it's good acidity in here. Yep. You might get away with the. I think what if you do oysters, try to do it with no mignonette. Because sometimes you add too much of the
so just raw oysters.
Basic. Don't add anything to them.
And I always say about pairings, have no fear. Try it, especially when the wine's built to be bad.
And you got the acidity, so that's not a problem.
It is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Anyone heard from Barry Herbst?
He'll be in.
Today?
He's wrapping up a couple of projects in the store, and he'll be by in about half an hour.
Okay, cool. Dan Berger, of course, my co-host, and our guest today is William Nuttall. Okay, let's break this down again. You got Otamino.
This is all Zinfandel.
Where does that name come from?
Ah, that's an interesting story. So if you look, you're holding my card there, Steve, so you see a little 8 on there. And on the piece of property where we have our estate vineyard, there was a gentleman living there whose actual, real, legal name was Otamino. And he was the 8th son and the last and basically the runt of the litter of an immigrant Italian family. And he grew grapes and he grew apples on that property. And Otamino was kind of a nice joke that his family played on him when he was born. Because normally your 8th child in an Italian family would be Octavius or something like that. But Otamino sounds like 8 in a way, but Otamo is the Italian word for best. Otamino would be like little best guy. And that was
like
where the name came from. And the guy lived to be about 104, and we swear he died that young because the doctor cut him off from drinking wine at about 98.
Oh, that's
it was a big mistake.
I hope the family sued the doctor.
There was no family left. He lasted that long. He was the last
one. He's 104. Wow.
So anyway, we have that property, and there are adjoining vineyards, and these are back in what we kind of call the banana belt of the Green Valley section of Russian River. And it's on a peninsula, where the Harrison Grade is. The fog actually breaks there all the time. We get enough warmth to grow Zinfandel. And Zinfandel has been back there since, I think, the 1870s or 80s.
Wow. And there is a long history in Russian River of Zinfandel. It was a heritage variety considered to be part of most Italian families' culture. They liked the variety a lot. They likened it a little bit to Sangiovese. Sangiovese wasn't available, so they planted Zinfandel, and Zinfandel thrives out there.
Absolutely. And we scarped up what vineyards we could find. And for Otamino, the idea was to actually go to a cool area where we knew the Zin would get ripe, because it had for 100 years, so why not? And by having a cooler area, it takes a little longer for the grapes to get ripe, but everything is always ripe by the end of September to about the middle of October, any vintage.
Well,
and we wind up with reasonable sugar, so we never get more than 15 alcohol.
And also ripe in the traditional sense, not in the modern sense, because in the modern sense, they like to wait until they're about 28 or 29% of sugar.
Raisins. Yes.
And that doesn't make good wine.
No.
And Bill is smart enough to know that you pick them a little early, that's why you've got the opportunity to do it out there.
William Nuttall is here on California Wine Country. Okay, now you got Nuttall Family Wines?
Nuttall Family, yes. And so William Nuttall is the self-named brand, but I brought my kids into the business
You mentioned
year,
that.
So we have a Chardonnay that's got my daughter Kate's moniker on it, and it's called Pas de Deux, as Dan mentioned. I've got one. I'm a big rock and roll fan, so I've got a Pinot Noir that's got a fanciful name of Bill's Hidden Track. And
I like it.
Cabernet that my son has his name on, and he was a a mathematician at Santa Cruz. Now he's working in the wine business. He couldn't calculate that one, but it's called Sebastian's Infinite Limits. And they're all value-priced wines made just as good as my higher-priced William Nuttall wines.
We are really blessed in Sonoma County to have small brands like this because not only are they great wines, but they're usually priced extremely fairly. Part of the reason is that Bill's a local guy, and he doesn't want to deal with national marketing if he can help it. So you make a small quantity, sell it locally, and keep the prices reasonable.
I'm going to assume you're at Bottle Barn?
We are at Bottle Barn.
Okay, good.
Number of wines.
Barry's on his way in.
Yes.
All right, where are we going next there, Bill?
Should do the Pinot Noir, I think.
Do Pinot.
Yes.
So we'll go back to what I was saying. So I have my partnership in Altamino with Brad Alper, who's a former American Airlines pilot turned farmer. And he decided that he didn't want to fly the international trips anymore. And after we did Altamino, which has been going on for about 17 or 18 vintages now, he had Pinot Noir on his property, and he sells grapes to the Duttons, and he just decided he wanted his own brand. So we decided to do Pinot Noir, and we pretty much went with the idea that we wanted it to be as French as possible as you could make a Pinot Noir in California. And I'm a little bit of a stickler about Pinot Noir because having started and cutting my teeth in wine on Pinot Noir at Saintsbury and not really understanding how difficult a variety it is to make into good wine, I just didn't have any clue. So I went for 13 years making this stuff thinking this was winemaking. Well, then I found out how hard it was. And these days you see a lot of Pinot Noir that's just black in color. Doesn't really have true Pinot character. You hear about Syrah being blended into it, Petit Verdot being blended in, Cabernet being blended in. We like to make pure Pinot Noir. So all my Pinots to this day are 100% Pinot Noir.
Wow, Barry Herbst is here, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn.
It's a really gorgeous wine.
You brought something in that I can't even figure out what it is with this label, but I know it's cold because I just shook your hand, and your hand is freezing.
Yeah, this should stir up some conversation. Wine about, it's in the Canary Islands where this is made.
Really?
It's an orange wine, and we can try it in a few minutes.
Orange?
Yeah, which means...
Orange wine is the the latest craze among
exactly.
people who are crazy.
Or scourge, depending on your point of view.
This one's actually drinkable, though.
That's like sour beer. They bring it in on Brouhaha on Thursdays, and I go away.
I'm with you on that,
it's Steve. Not that esoteric.
Off you go with the sour beer. I want to ask Dan Berger why I like this Pinot so much.
Well, it's a good example of Western Russian River. Elegant, but with some intensity. What I like about it more than anything else is the fact that it's got a really wonderful mid palate, and you start to think food. I'm starting to think about some roast beef with this thing. This is just gorgeous wine. It needs a little bit of some kind of food to go with it, maybe some home-cured olives to give it just enough of the olive oil component in the olives. And then this has got just a trace of that forest floor component, so it's Burgundian in that respect. Really Jeez. Lovely wine. What's the price on this?
This is $55.
Just about where the market is.
And given where these grapes are from, this is the area back there where Rivers Marie and all these other little cult wineries are sourcing fruit from. That's actually a low price point compared to everybody else.
Sumo Vineyard in the
yeah,
Occidental?
It's back off the Harrison Grade.
Oh, okay.
And Barry.
Yeah.
Bill already said that you can get his wines at Bottle Barn. All of them? Or
The Nuttall and the Altamino, both big favorites. We do real well with the Zinfandel from Altamino. I don't think we have Square Peg yet. I think that's
it's pretty new.
Frentadora, yeah, I don't think.
Probably haven't seen it yet. That's my new Argentine Malbec.
Just hot off the press. To make certain everybody knows what this is, this Pinot Noir is 2014 Square Peg Pinot Noir Russian River Valley. And that's a completely different. It's a brand new brand for my way of thinking. I'm not familiar with it.
There was a very little amount of 2013, and now this 14 is a brand new release. There's actually two blocks, and we had enough grapes in 2014 to split the bottlings. And this wine is as natural as you can get.
And the tannins are beautiful.
Yeah, tannins are beautiful, and I think it's going to age really well. There's no fining, no filtration. It goes straight to bottles and natural wine.
All right. It is California Wine Country, the twice awarded, internationally awarded radio segment. My co-host, Dan Berger, of course. And our guest today is William Nuttall. And again, he's got Atimino, and William Nutter Winery.
Nuttall.
Nuttall Winery. And
pistachios on the brain.
Yeah, everything tastes like pistachios to me now. Well, I am nuts. And, also, Barry Herbst, the wine buyer and the main man there at Bottle Barn, is back with us. It is brought to you by Bottle Barn. All right, where did we leave off?
You got the Zinfandel in your glass.
Okay, we're moving to this Zin. And
to the Ottomino Zinfandel. So Ottomino is an all Zinfandel brand.
Right, okay.
And it's predominantly single vineyard, though we have a fighting varietal blend called Zinfinity that we sell a lot of. But all the single vineyard wines
Zinfinity,
are done.
Zinfinity, I like that.
Zinfinity, yes. It's been out for quite a while. But the other wines are all small volume, 300 to 600 cases of single vineyards. And all these wines are made identically, and it's just sight that's important. They're made in a claret style, which basically means they're processed like Cabernet. They're fully extracted. We age them totally in French oak for 16 to 20 months. Because of the cool region we grow them in, the wines are always in that 14.3 to 14.9 alcohol range, so they're very moderate for Zinfandel.
Yeah.
But as you can see by the color here and the richness of the wine, full extraction and that aging really works. And makes a blockbuster wine that ages really well, and it's great with roasted meats and whatever you can throw at it.
Yeah. You were in Napa for a long time. Are these all from Sonoma County?
These are all Sonoma County. These are true Sonoma Coast Zins, actually.
Dan?
Yeah, this is a wonderful area for Zinfandel. A lot of the Zin that was growing out there has been torn out over the last, 15 years or so. But a lot of that is false decision-making. Some of the best Pinot Noirs that I've ever tasted...
It's not mine.
That's whatever.
No, it's Dan's.
Dan,
lay down your phone for a year, will you?
Okay. One of the nice things about Western Russian River is that there are pockets of warmth that allow for some of these vines to be pushed out there for an extra couple of weeks, and that gives the Zinfandel the opportunity to ripen properly, but with moderate alcohol. So there's not very much in the way of excessive alcohol in these wines. The vineyards that are left out there are really old vines, and that's the secret.
For the most part, yes, it's true. And I was telling you, Dan, off mic before, that we have been making these wines in the style since the early 2000s. We at one time had a vineyard called Von Weidlich that has since been pretty much ripped out. There's remnants of it there, but it was the vineyard that Ridge Vineyards became famous with, and it was called Occidental Vineyard at the time. Right. The owner of Von Weidlich had a dispute. We wound up picking up the grapes. We made wine out of there for quite a few years. And we're still drinking the 2001. It is just astounding. Deeply colored.
Those
huge fruit still.
Wines. I've had some of those.
Incredible. So this style of Zin can be made, and it can last. So the claret style, I think, is very important. And the fact that we're in true Sonoma Coast area with that cool weather really does give us a chance to have balanced wine with moderate alcohol.
Barry, your thoughts on this? And then I want to do what's new at Bottle Barn.
Sure.
But almost all of this, except for the new...
Pinot Noir and the Malbec don't have yet.
But, Bill, they'll be available at Bottle Barn at some point.
It's just a matter of negotiation.
Exactly.
Right. But, yeah, I'm a big fan.
I'm holding out.
Exactly.
What's the retail on the Zin?
The Zin is $36 retail, but you can get a much better price at Bottle Barn.
Yeah, we're in the...
because we love Bottle Barn.
That's right.
We've been selling Bottle Barn for years.
Local guys take great
local
care of
guys.
No complaints.
Absolutely.
And they deliver personally and give us their boxes. It's awesome.
We'll do a pistachio and
food
Zin if you want. You
know, exactly.
Somebody say pistachio.
Gonna make a special wine for Steve. Pistachio Chardonnay. Anyway, this is a big seller for us there. Been a fan for a long time, and I was just saying I've tasted four or five really great Zins from this area recently, and I'm glad they haven't turned it all into Pinot Noir, even though I'm sure people could charge double. If they switched over, the wines are great and balanced.
That's a short-term decision. 100-year-old vines that are Zinfandel, boy, it's tough to get those.
Yeah.
They're not planting them anymore. That's right. You've got to support those kinds of wines otherwise these vines will disappear.
Yeah. And they should be Zin.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah.
There are fabulous wines out there. And Joel Peterson discovered that a long time ago over at Ravenswood, and he's done just a brilliant job of keeping some of that old vine stuff in the ground.
And his son is part of that organization that's preserving the Heritage Vine Society that is creating a registry and keeping track of these vineyards so that, you know, big corporations don't come in and rip them all out and turn them into Chardonnay and bulk wine. So,
all right, Bill, we got a Malbec?
We have a Malbec, Steve, and I'm throwing a ringer at you here. I actually make wine in Argentina as well, and since I like to take the road less traveled, I've never been to Mendoza. It's kind of weird, but as many times as I've been in Argentina, I've never gone to the main wine region. I settled in the northern wine region of Cafayate, which is in the state of Salta, probably about 6-7 hours south of Bolivia, and bought land there at one point, built a home, and then got into the wine business because they've had wine there for about 150 years. So as you can see from this wine, it is still, it's a 2013, it's called Tintadora.
It is, the color is
the color is amazing.
Beautiful.
Even still.
That's the darkest red I think I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's almost like India ink. And that's the natural conditions they have. They're growing Malbec at 5,000 feet plus. And many people know about the Hess winery called Colomé that's at almost 9,000 feet growing Malbec. We're a little bit lower. You know, Hess makes a lot of wine down there, too. But you can get this kind of intensity out of Malbec down there. And
it tastes like grape juice.
It's still very fresh. And it's got very spicy aromas and great color. It's a wine, again, that's going to last a long time.
So you lay this down. Even I think I would lay this down.
6 to 10 years. I mean, this is just a baby.
Yeah.
And that's why we're selling a 2013 red right now. I usually, again, make these wines with truer acidities and big style, so you can lay them down for a long time, and it takes a little while for them to come fully to life. But it's drinking pretty well right now, and we're selling this like crazy.
Beautiful aromatics. Mm-hmm.
And it's a $24 retail, so it's very reasonably priced.
Violets.
For a
stains the side of this intensity.
The white pepper.
Get the color out.
No, you're right. We all are putting it in the dump buckets, and the glasses still are
purple.
Stained purple.
I'm going to do a shameless plug here, too, Steve, because you're going to be the first one to hear this. I have a second brand coming from Argentina.
Pistachio?
No, we tried that. It didn't work. They don't grow pistachios down there very well. But there's a new brand coming down. It's called Bad Brothers.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm a bad brother now, but it's bad because I've got an Argentine winemaking colleague named Agustin. So we got Bill Agustin and then my American friend David. So we're the bad brothers. And it's going to be Malbec blends and Torrontés blends, which is Torrontés being kind of like the Chenin Blanc, Sauvignon Blanc of Argentina.
Really?
With pineapple flavors.
It can.
Torrontés is a fun wine.
It's really a fun wine.
In the summer and... can be really
exactly.
Good.
So we've got to come.
Thank
up
you,
here
Barry. Shortly. He's cleaning my glass after I dumped that stuff. I mean, yeah, we all had after dumping the wine. I mean, the wine glasses were like stuck on
stained.
Red.
Permanently stained. Yes,
that's a serious wine.
Yeah.
So I did have to. You have to bring one of my own wines today. But now, are we going to get this orange wine? Is that what we're going to do? We're going to do this.
Orange.
We're going to
get oranges added, though.
I think you got a winner here.
Okay, wait.
You got a winner here.
I'm using the Kleenex to continue to after Barry. I mean, it's all.
There we go.
It looks like I put licorice in there.
I never smelled a white wine that smelled like black pepper.
Oh, yeah.
This is
all right, Barry, explain what the hell this
sorry.
Is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, jeez. Overshot it.
At least it got your shorts and not my expensive pants.
And it really got your shorts.
That's right.
There you
that's
go.
Right. Mike's
got paper towels.
Coming home wine stained.
So which planet was this made on? You said some...
Canary Islands.
Canary Islands.
Yeah. And in parts, they actually have to dynamite to make a spot for the vine.
Of course they do.
It's all
they do. Yeah. Wow. Thank God we don't have to do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's the case with this winery, but...
I'm not rubbing your leg. I'm just using the paper towel.
Exactly.
Taste this stuff and taste the black pepper.
Yeah, in the nose.
It's fascinating,
right away,
isn't it?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
And Dan, give me the nose.
Mm-hmm. It's black pepper.
It's got like cardamom or something in the background,
too. Yeah, it's got
too,
some other kind of Middle Eastern spice component as well, but also sort of a little bit of fresh anise, fresh, you know, so... I don't know.
Okay, it's not made with oranges, which is what I thought, but it is orange.
And it's not oxidized like a lot of orange wines can be. A lot of orange wines are made intentionally oxidized, which starts giving it that sherry quality.
I never heard there.
Bad at all.
I never heard anything about an orange wine. This is Canary Islands.
Yeah. And the wine is called Bodegas Vinatigo.
And can we get this at Bottle Barn? That's what
yes,
I want to know.
It is there. It's Elaboraciones Ancestrales Blanco.
Of course.
I remember that one.
I heard of that before, sure.
All right, so this is a blend, right?
Yeah, so it's a lot of the local
and what,
grapes.
And what year?
This is 2014.
Or do they even care?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's mostly local grapes. The one you'd recognize is Malvasia. One of them.
Okay.
But Marmahuelo, Gual, Negro Moly, all local grapes blended in this.
Canary
and this is
Islands.
Pictures of it. You, basically grapes with a view. The ocean's, you know, not even.
Well, it's beautiful,
away.
Yeah. But yeah. Dan, I think, thought this was going to be as bad as I did, and you kind of like it.
Well, it's interesting, and I like it to the degree that I don't hate it.
Right.
I was
rousing endorsement,
for
Dan.
What can I say? I mean, it's
that's going to be our next ad in the Bohemian.
Right, exactly. I've never tasted an orange wine I could drink. This one I can drink. So
Dan, let me ask you a question. If Barry hadn't told you it was an orange wine and you had the glass just not knowing what it was, would you have a different opinion?
No, I would.
That's
kind
of my feeling. I wouldn't have known what it was. I might have.
I would say it's a Rhodesian red.
Yeah, a very pale red.
Wow, I don't know. Any food this might go with?
Boy, yeah, this would be an interesting.
Rotten guavas.
Yeah, rotten guavas.
Which is one of my favorite new bands, the Rotten Guavas. Yeah.
I'd go Moroccan with this. Yeah, those flavors, cardamom.
No. Something with cardamom.
No, thanks. Yeah, no, thanks.
Did it go too far on the exotic scale?
Yeah, Barry, thanks for bringing in something I don't like.
We'll reel it back in with Chardonnay next week.
No, we like the exotics.
I'm going back to the Malbec.
Yeah, there you go.
That's really much better wine.
Oh, man. Okay, our guest, special guest today is William Nuttall from Ottimino, William Nuttall Winery, the brand new... I'm sorry, I'm here. Square Peg? Yeah.
Tintadora Malbec, Nuttall Family Wines.
Very cool. And as I mentioned earlier, you spent a lot of time working in Napa, but now you have moved over here.
Yeah, I moved over here after I had my stint at Sainsbury that ended in 1996 after 13 years.
And wow.
Then was at Chalk Hill and Dry Creek over about 15 years. But I live in Napa. I stayed over there.
Oh, you do?
Kept my kids in the same school. Was a good dad and the whole bit.
Of course.
But commuted all that time and really, really got into a lot of vineyards in Sonoma County, especially Dry Creek and Russian River. So I still source from all those vineyards.
And, Dan, you mentioned earlier, but reiterate how you and Bill hooked up and how long ago.
Well, I've been following some of the wines from Chalk Hill because Mark Lingenfelder is a wonderful grower out there.
Long time manager.
I actually tasted Bill's wines when he was over at Chalk Hill and very impressed by the style of wine and the consistency and also the great acidity that he always left in the wines. So when he moved over as a consultant over to Dry Creek, it was really helpful to be able to have a consistent source of the connection from the previous vineyard that he worked at. And of course, I think the most important thing was your level of acidity in these wines is secret. I mean, this is great stuff.
And hopefully it's seamless, too.
Yeah, it is seamless.
It just gives it a wine a backbone.
Yeah, sometimes wines have great acidity, but then the acid takes over and it gets in
the
way
case,
of the wine.
In this case, the acid is just an integral
stays
part.
Stays right where it should be, yeah.
Exactly. I'm going back to the Square Peg Pinot. This is delicious stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's all because the acidity is in such good shape with it.
And it's totally natural. I mean, really, this is one of those wines that you make and you don't have to do a whole lot to if you pick the right barrels. And we do a barrel selection when we do the final bottling. But nothing's done to this wine to manipulate it. We just make the wine, settle it, and put it in a bottle.
It is good stuff.
Good stuff.
Pure Pinot juice.
Bill, what's the website?
Well, we got a bunch of them. There's www.williamnuttall.com. Sounds like a George Carlin ad or something. Then there's ottimino.com. We have for Square Peg, Square Peg Winery. .com, and I'm sure I'm missing a few.
Wouldn't you put them? Wouldn't you, marketing wise, put them all under one umbrella
They do all interrelate, and I have other brands too. They're actually all involved there. So.
Yeah. So if you go to
Ottimino is easy to understand. Ottimino. You can easily just get to that online
and then click on the other
Zinfandel.
Ones.
That Zinfandel is just absolutely
one of my favorites in the store.
Yeah.
For sure.
Ottimino.
Ottimino. Yes. So I have one more wine if you're ready for another big red.
I'm ready.
We had our intermezzo orange wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Since
it held up pretty good to the big red wine, yeah, I have to say.
Since Barry just...
You've heard of palate cleansers.
I shocked your palate.
Yes. Barry just ruined my palate for today.
So after that Malbec, I thought I'd bring a kind of a wimpy red wine, a Petit Syrah.
This is California Wine Country. Our guest is William Nuttall from William Nuttall Winery, Atomino, and Square Peg. And the guy's a busy dude with a lot of different labels and makes some great wine. Barry Herbst is here, the wine buyer, of course, from Bottle Barn, who brings you this award-winning segment, California Wine Country, and my co-host, Dan Berger. All right, Dan, talk about what you're sniffing.
Well, we got the right William Nuttall Petit Syrah, and Petit Syrah is a historic variety in California. Makes a very dark and deep red wine. In a certain way, this is like a competitor to your Malbec because the weight and the intensity are fairly similar. But here is a wine that really absolutely needs time in the cellar. 2 to 5 years more, and this will be fabulous wine. Right now, it's drinkable.
It's still silky, though.
It's gorgeous.
Really. It'll go for a while. And the details on this is that it's the William Nuttall 2013 Petit Syrah, and it's from Doug Raffinelli's vineyard, and he's got a couple little blocks named after his kids called Rex and America that give me maybe 100 to 150 cases every year. And it just makes beautiful Petit Syrah. A lot of Petit Syrah is very pedestrian. It's only good for its principal use, which I think is blending into Zin. But when you have special blocks, it's pretty wonderful stuff. And this is, a big, full-body wine. We just released it. Happy to say we just sent it to Sunset Magazine. It got gold medal in Besta Class. So I think we've got another winner here. This wine will go for a long, long time, though.
Dan and I recently judged a competition and had Petit Syrah as one of the categories, and it was pretty rough to get through.
No doubt.
It can be pretty rough around the edges and tough on the palate, but I wish something like this was in our flight. This would have clearly jumped to the top. It was nice.
There's a lot of guts in this wine, but, here's the wine you want to put with a charred steak.
Yeah.
This is good wine.
Absolutely. It's a big brother of the Ottomino's Inn in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Why did Chris Di Matteo in L.A., our Italian and French expert and a man who works for my company, Vicario Productions, he's saying Ottomino. What was I saying?
Ottomino is right. I thought I heard
I thought
you say
I said it right. Yeah.
Maybe not the first time, but
sometimes
with practice we get them all right.
I might have said Ottomino, but I'm Italian, so I'm it's
you have no excuse then.
Exactly. Ottomino. Thank you, Christopher, as always. Barry Herbst, wine buyer at Bottle Barn, and it's great to have and meet William Nuttall. Mike will put all the websites up. Or just go to Ottomino.
OneStopShop.com.
I said it wrong. Ottomino.
Ottomino.com.
Yeah.
And you can get to all the other sites.
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember all the links anymore. But
all right. Well, we'll figure it out.
William Nuttall Winery, you'll find them all.
Great to meet you, man. And we'll have you back again. Dan Berger is my co-host on California Wine Country. We'll see you next week.
Next week.
Yeah. Thank you.
Did you give me 10 and I blew it or no? Oh. Do you have thoughts on next week?
2 weeks from now, we have Bob Lindquist from Coupe Vineyards down in Santa Maria Valley.
Wow.
And he's bringing up some of the most interesting Syrah you'll ever taste, hoping that it will be considered by most people to be the best Syrah of all.